welcome to all you fangirls and fanboys out there, you purveyors of pop culture, you Trekkers and Trekkies alike. This is Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber, and today I am wrapping up my adventure at the Cincinnati Comic Expo. As I've done the past few years, I've taken the show on the road to the Queen City. That happened a few weeks back, and I've been bringing my conversations from the Cincinnati Comic Expo to all of you loyal listeners right here on the show. A lot of those conversations are found in part one of my adventure at the Cincinnati Comic Expo, and that episode included my Q&A with Cary Elwes from The Princess Bride. That was a fun conversation. Last week, I welcomed Arrow's Katrina Law back to Comic Book Central, had an in-depth interview with her a while back, got to meet up with her again at the show, ran a Q&A there, had fun meeting up with her again. I brought that Q&A to you last week. Hopefully you caught that. This week, we have a new friend to Comic Book Central from Star Trek The Next Generation, the multi-talented actor, writer, director, producer, LeVar Burton. Yes, LeVar Burton. I'm going to be bringing you my Q&A with LeVar in just a few minutes. Man, we had a blast talking about Star Trek, the animated voiceovers. He's done a ton of animated voiceover work. Roots, the mega miniseries back in 1977. Of course, Reading Rainbow. We had to talk about Reading Rainbow. 35 years of Reading Rainbow as well. And also his latest venture in literacy, promoting literacy to kids. It's LeVar Burton Kids. He's taking the work he's done from Reading Rainbow and moving that into LeVar Burton Kids now. LeVarBurtonKids.com. That's where you want to go to find out more information about that project. And if you want to find out more about the Cincinnati Comic Expo itself, CincinnatiComicExpo.com. Plans are already in gear for next year. So if you want to be in attendance there, follow them on Facebook, follow them on social media, and check that out. Quick note before we get to today's chat with LeVar Burton. I want to mention that the Comic Book Central 5th Anniversary Special, man, can you believe it's been 5 years since I launched the show? Nearly 250 episodes, over 300 guests. It has been an amazing ride. My thanks to each and every one of you out there for continuing to tune in, to download the show, to stream it, to subscribe in iTunes each and every week. My thanks to you folks out there. November 10th, that is when episode 250 will air. That's the 5th anniversary special. It's my look back at year 5 of the show. As I've done each and every year, I'm going to have something to give away to one of you listeners out there. That's right, it's Comic Book Central's anniversary, but you're getting the gift. This year, in keeping with my Superman 80th anniversary and Superman the movie 40th anniversary themes, been talking about those all year long here on the show, artist John Pinto. You heard from John back on my Metropolis, Illinois Superman Celebration episode. That was episode 229. John Pinto has produced a one-of-a-kind exclusive Comic Book Central variant of his Superman the Movie 40th anniversary print. That print is stunning. I got the Superman Celebration variant when I met him in Metropolis. I love picking that up. Now we have one that states Comic Book Central exclusive. If you want to see what it looks like, head on over to the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/comicbookcentralnetwork. Don't forget the network. Give the page a like while you're there if you haven't done that already. Twitter at comicbookctrl, same thing there. Follow the show on Twitter if you haven't already. I've posted the artwork on those social media pages. I pinned it to the top of each one so you can check it out. Trust me, you want this print. I want this print, but I can't have it. It's marked one of one, so I can't even get my hands on this. This is for you folks out there. It will be signed by the artist, John Pinto himself, which, man, makes this one of the coolest Superman collectibles around. The art, as I mentioned, it is stunning. Christopher Reeve in action. It's an homage to Superman issue number one. He is surrounded by the cast of Superman the movie. It's the 40th anniversary print, and it could be yours. How do you get your hands on it? You regular listeners, you know the drill by now. Tell me what you liked hearing over the past year on the show, year 5 of the show. What was your favorite moment from episodes 201, that was my interview with Star Trek's Walter Koenig, through the current episodes? So many guests, so many moments, so many times I took the show on the road. What was your favorite moment? Tell me, joe@comicbookcentral.net, that is the email, or you can record a voicemail message and send it to me, Or you can record a voicemail at my website, comicbookcentral.net. There's a little icon on the right-hand side of the homepage. So you can do that and send me a voicemail message. Tell me your favorite moment. I will revisit that moment on the 5th anniversary special, and that will put you in the running to get that one-of-a-kind Comic Book Central exclusive Superman the movie print from super artist John Pinto. Oh man, it is amazing. But you got to hurry. The deadline to email me or to record a voicemail and send it, November 5th. I got to get some time to put the episode together. So November 5th, get those to me, but get it to me quicker than that if you can. That'll be even better. By the way, if you want to check out more of John's incredible artwork, his website is johnpinto.com, J-O-N-P-I-N-T-O.com. So check that out. All right, time to get trekking with the chief engineer of the USS Enterprise. So glad I finally got to chat with LeVar Burton. Been wanting to do that for a while. And as you'll hear, I do get to ask him about working with the original engineer of the USS Enterprise, James Doohan, on that classic next-gen episode, Relics. Good stuff coming your way. First, check this out. Then, for the final time in 2018, we shall head into the Queen City panel room at the Duke Energy Convention Center for what turned out to be apparently a support group for old people. Yes, that's going to make sense momentarily. It is my chat with LeVar Burton. The child of a military family, LeVar was born in Germany, raised in California. He originally studied to be a Catholic priest, but by the time he graduated high school and enrolled in college, he turned his attention to acting. In 1977, LeVar was cast as Kunta Kinte in the Emmy-winning ABC miniseries Roots, a miniseries which, at the time, drew more than half of the U.S. population to their TV screens. LeVar was nominated for an Emmy for the role, and he co-produced the 2016 remake for the History Channel. In between, LeVar has pretty much done it all as actor, producer, writer, and director, including 7 seasons of Star Trek The Next Generation as chief engineer Geordi LaForge. He also appeared as Geordi in 4 feature films with the Next Generation cast. And for more than 30 years, LeVar hosted the PBS children's show Reading Rainbow. He won numerous Emmys for his incredible work on that series, and he is now continuing that work of promoting literacy to children with his latest venture, LeVar Burton Kids.
We have got an amazing guest coming up for you here today. He's an Emmy-winning actor, director, and producer for 7 seasons. He won or no one had gone before on Star Trek The Next Generation, as Geordi LaForge. For nearly a quarter century, he hosted Reading Rainbow. These days, he heads up LeVar Burton Kids. He's still teaching kids how to read, especially comic books, our favorite. Here is LeVar Burton. As I mentioned, you just taking it all in? That's a good crowd.
There's a lot of you.
Yeah. There's a lot of readers out there. If you can't see his shirt, can you tell us what your shirt is?
I'm wearing a Reading Rainbow. I'm rocking the colors.
Yes. Yeah. You're still teaching us how to read. You're still teaching kids how to read. This is amazing, too. LeVar... It's LeVar Burton Reads?
LeVar Burton Reads, that's my podcast. But that's not for kids. LeVar Burton Reads is definitely for grown-ups.
That's definitely I thought this was interesting, too, because you talked about the comic book connection. The latest episode, I believe, has a preview of Wolverine.
Wolverine, yeah.
Yeah. This is tell us a little bit about what that is, and then you give a little preview of it. And this is something I think we can all check out. This is going
to
be cool.
Well, first you have to check out LeVar Burton Reads.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then subscribe in iTunes. Because then you get all the episodes when you subscribe to the show.
We're deep into the 3rd season now. Nice. Over 32, 33 episodes. A new episode every Tuesday. I read a short story in every episode. And the only thing that the stories have in common is that I love them.
Is this your first podcast?
It is.
What do you think about the world of podcasting? I mean, I've been doing it for a while. I love it. What do you think about the world of podcasting?
I mean, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to do something that was purely creative for me. And there was really no barrier to entry. It's me and a microphone and a short story. And I have a blast in the studio.
Isn't it the best? Because you have total control. Like a lot of the projects you have, you don't have total control over.
A lot of the projects I do, I don't have any control over. Like marriage.
My wife's here, so I'll just keep that to myself.
Just say yes.
Yes. Whatever she says is accurate. But yeah, podcasting is fun though.
Yeah, no, it really.
Two device.
There's no one there's no gatekeeper that I have to get permission from. There's no studio. There's no network. It's like I said, it's just me and a microphone and the story.
And you've done voiceover, but that's a whole different animal because you're being taught, like, okay, read it this way, now give us this line and give us this way.
Well, they rarely give you line readings in when you're working unless they're really, really bad directors.
Or if you just didn't get what they were throwing down.
No, the director, a good director lets an actor do his or her job.
Find it? Oh, so for the voiceover roles that you've done, have you been able to find things within the sessions?
For cartoons, mostly, once you identify the voice, that's all you really need. Yeah. For Captain Planet,
so many cool things.
You guys are old. For Kwame, I found him in the audition. I had no idea what the character was about before I walked in the door and read on the on the audition signs that he was from West Africa, and I just sort of found him in the room. Let our powers combine. For Doc Green on Rescue Bots. Any Rescue Bots fans? You guys are old.
Good for you, we are, because we remember everything.
Rescue Bots is a sort of a Transformers for toddlers, and I played Doc Green in that show. But I think that I'm a storyteller. I love storytelling, and for me, one of the most pure forms of storytelling takes place in your imagination. So it's just the text and a good reader, someone who really knows how to bring a story to life. And that's all you really need.
Do you think it's a lost art, especially with books these days? Because so much is just visual and everything is just in front of us now. We don't have to visualize anything anymore. Do you think that's just such a lost art, or do you think that...
I don't think the imagination will ever go out of style. At least I hope not. I'm counting on the fact that it won't.
I have to ask, we're going to talk about this. Well, you can tell from the crowd reaction, there's so many different things that we could talk about today. But I've got to talk about the big news. Your castmate, Patrick Stewart. Probably got about as much hair as I do. Sometimes he's in superhero movies. I've seen him in the big chair.
Right,
he sits in the big chair
when you're fixing
the engines, and he does the big chair thing and make it so.
Yes,
and,
that guy.
We thought he was done with Jean-Luc Picard.
So did he?
He is not done with Jean-Luc Picard.
Apparently not.
He is coming back as Jean-Luc Picard.
That's the word.
Yes, it is. you were out to dinner recently with Marina Sirtis and Jonathan Frakes, and Marina posted a nice picture of you guys all at the table together, getting together.
Mm-hmm. Michael Dorn was there.
Yeah.
Brent Spiner.
Yeah.
Jonathan was in Toronto directing Disco.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he would have
been. Yeah, I think somebody photoshopped him in late.
Yes.
I think somebody did that.
Yes.
What'd you talk about?
Well, we talked about.
We got a while here. I can wait.
Well, we talked a little bit about Picard.
Okay, so that came up.
It did.
It
wasn't. It was one of the topics of conversation at dinner.
Sure was.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
It was.
Okay.
Majority.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Look, nobody goes away in Star Trek. Star Trek, there's so many different timelines and different things. Are you coming back, Star Trek?
Just got to throw it out there.
I wouldn't rule it out. Now, having said that, I have no deal in place. That there has been no storyline shared with me as yet. But as you say, it's something.
Yes. Are there any conversations at all that you can tell us about, or has it been so far isolated just to Patrick? Sir Patrick.
We call him Sir Sweetie. Sir Sweetie.
I'm sure he loves that.
Oh, he does. Yeah. He answers to Sir Sweetie.
I'm sure if I call that.
We are all very excited
yeah.
for Patrick. And should occasion arise where that story requires the inclusion of some of Picard's old friends, I'm pretty sure we're ready.
Because we've seen this, that, you know, like Brent Spiner, talking to Brent Spiner.
Oh, you can't believe anything he said.
I know. I know. Well, I did put him off. I brought him some pie from his goddaughter's bakery in Columbus. So I brought him some pie.
You brought him pie?
I did. I went and got him pie and gave him pie.
The notorious liar where pies are concerned.
All right. seemed to appreciate it. But he had mentioned, he's like, well, Data, like, I'm older now. Like, how would I do that? It wouldn't look the same. And I'm thinking, well, the episode, the finale.
Yeah.
He, like, Data wanted to look the age of his
I think it's perfectly understandable that Data would want to age along with his friends.
Yeah, so he can still do that. So that's not a... Do you tell Brent that? Like, do you, like...
Constant.
This has been done in an episode already.
He needs a lot of reassurance.
Okay. And also the movie universe, J.J. Abrams' movie universe.
Yes.
Is there. Like, we know that. Those elements take place in your timeline.
Do they?
Yeah, because, like, I
thought we didn't exist in the Kelvin timeline.
Well, okay, because, correct me if I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm sure someone will correct me.
But didn't Spock go back in time, like, from that timeline to Picard and that whole time? Didn't he go back in time and then everything got messed up? So, you guys could go back. Like, you could do that as well. Like, you followed Nimoy back. I think if I did the math. Alright, no, but you didn't have lunch? You didn't have dinner with J.J. Abrams?
No.
Okay, just checking. I gotta cover all the bases here. What was your gateway into reading? Was it comic books?
No, actually. The book that I cite as the sort of the turn on the light bulb experience was Captain's Courageous, Rudyard Kipling. I remember coming to the end of that story and turning the last page and closing the cover, and I got really sad. I didn't understand it then, but you know, it was. I got depressed because I had so immersed myself in this world and with these characters, and I was really sad to leave them and that world. To this day, when I'm reading a particularly good piece of fiction, I slow down the last chapter or two to sort of forestall that inevitable sense of depression that always happens when I'm leaving a really good story.
So when you get a really good book, it's like you don't want it to end.
I don't want it to end. I want to save it.
Yeah. So you really connected with the characters. Was that like, were you visualizing? Was that because as a child, like, you could sort of make up
that's the
in
whole,
your own brain?
That's what reading is about, is making the movie in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we look at. I love the fact that you're really an advocate of comic books too.
Oh, sure.
You talk about this because what was the quote I think you said? If your child loves superheroes,
damn it, buy your kid comic books.
Yeah, see, I love that because it's like, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, that's what is going to get him to read. That was the thing for me. I remember it was Spidey Super Stories back in the day. It was Electric Company had the show. Easy Reader, Easy Reader. Morgan Freeman mm-hmm. played Easy Reader. He mm-hmm. was in the comic books. His picture was on there, and he was teaching me how to read them, like, oh, and he's hanging out with Spider-Man. That was, and I just couldn't get it out of there.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's just amazing stuff.
I also tell parents that ask me, so how can I get my child to read more? I ask them two things. Number one, how often does your child see you read?
Mm-hmm.
Children are sponges. They're going to model the behavior that we demonstrate for them I also ask parents, do you know what your child is passionate about? Because it is our passions that tend to drive our reading appetites, which is why I say if your kid loves superheroes, then buy them comic books. You never know what that gateway experience, like you mentioned, is going to be.
And that's going to take communication between parent and child. You've got to talk to your
at the very least observation.
And listen to your children when they're talking to you.
That can be tough, but yeah, that's a good parenting.
That's good parenting. Right?
Sometimes you just want to shut them out.
Put the Blu-ray in or something, and you know you don't want to give them something to read. Let's take some audience questions.
Questions.
We've got some folks who are waiting to ask you some questions today. If you can tell us your name.
Kana. I met you earlier.
Kana.
You pronounce that?
Yes.
I grew up in rural Indiana, really poor. So
I'm married to Hoosier.
The library was always free. Mm-hmm. So, again, the fundamental part of my childhood, both of the big TV shows. But my question is, you transitioned from being in front of the camera to behind the camera, mm-hmm. as things have progressed. What has been the most challenging experience on either side, in front of and behind the camera?
I think the most challenging times for me is when I'm directing and I'm in the presence of really good acting and I want to get in there, you know? I want to be in the scene, and I can't, because I wasn't cast.
That would be awkward.
But when I'm in the presence of really good acting, when I'm directing, I want to roll up my sleeves and work. Yeah.
So that's behind the camera. What's the most challenging experience in front of?
Well, the most challenging thing for me, I think, in front of the camera these days is to remember that people can see my eyes. I developed a few bad habits wearing the visor for 7 seasons. And I just have to remember I can't take a nap in the middle of the day. People would see me sleeping. That's a little awkward, too. Thank you.
They talk about that, too, with actors, that like you feed off of the other actor's eyes so often that you give and get from that.
Yeah.
That must have been a challenge, too.
It was.
For your fellow actors, I'm thinking of, they're just like...
Nah, they didn't care. They didn't care. Yes, sir?
Hi, Laura. Word was that there was plans to do a movie after Nemesis hadn't been a success. Do you know what that would have entailed?
I have no idea.
What direction they would have went?
I hadn't heard that.
Oh, okay. That answers my question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I know. You don't know?
No, I don't.
I think that's why we kind of look at these Star Trek movies and so far. It's like almost like we wanted a little bit more closure, I think, with those characters.
Yeah, we didn't know that Nemesis would be our last motion picture. I think we all feel like it would have been great to go out consciously. Who knows? Maybe we'll have an opportunity to do
that's
that.
That's almost like is something on CBS streaming or something, or even Netflix or something. Is there a way to like maybe just do a 2-hour wrap-up or something and just kind of put a point at the end of it?
It's a decision that gets made way above my favorite.
Yep. Hey, Laura, I have a great year. So, personally, I didn't think Nemesis was bad. I thought it was a success.
It's a bold statement, man. Really bold statement. You're out on a limb there. But there are people who support you.
You're all right. So, the questions I did have have pretty much already been asked. I'll just ask this one. Visor or implants?
Implants. Absolutely.
Why implants? Just
because the visors suck. I loved wearing the contact lenses. They were made by prescription. I could see. A lot of benefits that the visor just didn't provide.
Thank you.
Hello, my name's Jen.
Hey, Jen.
I have a very brief short story that I've that leads into my question.
All ears.
When I was a kid, I watched Reading Rainbow, and my mom was a total Trekkie, which is funny because she's like the nice homemaker gardenery. Without that, she used to watch every episode of Next Generation. She's very excited when she found out I was going to see you. And the first time I saw you in Next Generation, it blew my mind. I was like, that's the guy from Reading Rainbow. And it just, so that's my favorite story when I think about you. And I guess it just leads into my question is like, what was it like switching between those roles? I think you filmed at the same time, right?
I did. We shot Reading Rainbow at the same time we were doing Next Generation. In fact, there's one episode of Reading Rainbow that's a crossover,
yeah.
Where we went behind the scenes of Star Trek. Yeah.
Bionic Bunny Show!
Who said that? Stand up! Give that man a hand! Did I answer your question? Did you ask a question?
What was it like switching between the two roles?
Oh, right. I remember now. Yeah. No, it was kind of seamless. At least that's the way it felt to me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming.
Thanks, Jen.
Can we get the 35th anniversary for Reading Rainbow this year?
Yeah.
I know so much has gone on with the show itself.
Right.
It's now... LeVar Burton Kids,
right.
your end of it. You've sort of taken the digital platforms that you were creating with Reading Rainbow, and moved them over to here.
After many years of representing the Reading Rainbow brand, I decided a year ago that it was time to give the brand back to WNED, the Buffalo television station, Buffalo public television station that actually owns the brand. I felt like I had done everything with the brand that I could do, including reinventing it for a new digital generation of kids. And after being associated with that brand for so many years, I know that people are always going to make that association. And I'm still doing the same work I've always done, only with a brand that I own, which is LeVar Burton Kids.
Again, just sort of taking control.
Yeah, taking control.
You're the boss
of my destiny, my life, and
what do we need to know about it? Like, I mean, what's out there for parents? What can they get?
Well, our product, the one that we developed with the Kickstarter, is a digital library. It's over 1,000 now books in the library. 250 some odd video field trips.
So the Skybrary.
It's called Skybrary. And it's an app on all Android devices, on Apple iTunes. It's on the web at LeVarBurtonKids.com. We've also, part of the Kickstarter money was dedicated to help us build a version of that digital library specifically for teachers to use in the classroom. It's called Skybrary School. And in addition to the books and videos, there's a dashboard for teachers. They can download lesson plans. You can roster 35, 40 kids, track their reading progress, recommend books to them. So it's a pretty robust aid for teachers to use where supplemental reading in the classroom is concerned. So I'm really proud of what we're still doing.
Good on you. That's amazing. Next question.
Hi, Mr. Burton. I was wondering what inspired you to start the Reading Rainbow program?
Mm-hmm. That's actually a pretty good question. It's a combination of things. I grew up in a house with an ex-English teacher. My mother, Irma Jean Christian, was a voracious reader. And in Irma Jean's house, you were either going to read a book or you were going to get hit in the head with one. You know what I'm saying? My mother was kind of insistent on reading. And so that coupled with the Roots experience in my life. My first job as an actor was the young Kunta Kinte in the television TV series Roots. You guys are old! and the Roots experience really showed me up close and personal the potential power of the medium of entertainment. And when it was presented to me that we could actually use this very powerful medium, certainly for its engagement factor, in the 80s, everybody was spending an inordinate amount of time in front of a television. So to use the television medium during the summer to steer kids back in the direction of the written word, it just made a whole lot of sense to me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Would you mind telling us about an influential woman in your life?
I could keep on talking about my mom. I could tell you about my wife, Stephanie. But I'll tell you about my daughter, Mika Burden, of whom we are very proud. My daughter, Mika, is 24, and she's very inspirational in my life. She graduated from the University of Michigan. Buck the, you know. Because both my daughter and my money went to Michigan. But when she graduated, she was a theater major at UMich and then moved to Austin, Texas for 2 years to work for a company called Rooster Teeth. So we was there for 2 years. She hosted a show called The Know, which is I guess a show about the news in the gaming world. Mika's a big gamer. She's been a gamer her whole life. We started playing Tomb Raider when she was, you know, a tot. She's also a very talented cosplayer. She makes her own costumes and weapons. But Mika right now, right as we speak, she is in Thailand. Mika is working for a company called Blizzard now. And she is in Thailand on the floor for an Overwatch tournament. And next year she'll be in the Overwatch League on the floor while she trains to be on the desk. My daughter will be the first woman on the desk for the Overwatch League. So that's pretty inspirational. You know, she's making a living doing something that didn't exist 5 years ago, right? And she's done all of this on her own. This is her doing her. So her mom and I are really proud.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ohio State's in the house.
I just wanted to say it was only one episode. But I grew up watching Gargoyles. I very much enjoyed your appearance as a Nazi, even if it took me a long time to figure out, oh, that was LeVar.
Yeah.
It did some serious voice modulation.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Yeah, that was fun. And, you know, Jonathan and Marina and Michael had, already been there, so it was kind
of
cool.
The running joke of the series Star Trek does in its off time. I wanted to ask, I got here like 5 minutes late, so I may have already mentioned
about that.
Columbus time, what do you want? I remember when the Kickstarter went up, and I watched the whole intro video, lovely cameo at the end, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
When it went up, I mean, when it finished, I think you're still in like the top 10 for Kickstarter itself in terms of overall value of donations.
Mm-hmm.
When it went up, did you have even an inkling that it was going to do as big a job as it did?
Not a clue. It all came as an amazing and an enormous surprise.
So you honestly didn't know that Reading Rainbow was basically going to be a trumpet call. All us old folk.
But all you old folk who had seen the show when you were growing up, and that made the difference. And you guys, you know, reached into your pockets and wanted to make sure that something that was good from your childhood was made available for children you would never meet. And it turned out to be one of the most stunning acts of generosity I've ever been a part of.
Glad you're happy, and
thank you.
Thank you. Previously, that Reading Rainbow was the best gig you ever had.
It is, yeah.
I mean, you were a brute. You were in Star Trek.
I was the chief engineer of the Enterprise, yeah. And Reading Rainbow is still the best gig I've ever had.
Is it just that personal connection of just knowing that
as opposed to just like acting in something that you're making a difference in so many lives.
I think for the son of an English teacher to be so intimately connected with the field of literature, and especially literature for children, and getting children hooked on the written word, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm not going to say I'm a funny guy.
Yes, you are.
Well, I'm not sure you're on TV, but in Community,
yes.
So you and Donald Glover go on a concussive ward.
Yes.
So in this episode, in the bathroom, you see headline of all persons being raided by pirates.
Yes.
Has Dan Harmon ever told you how that storyline would end?
I'm still there being held by pirates. The Gulf of Mexico. The 3-hour tour has turned into a little bit more of an ordeal than we originally intended.
There's always a movie.
There is. There's always Community the movie.
Please meet you, Lamar.
What's your name, brother?
My name's Greg. And I am an old person.
Yeah.
Me too, Greg.
I watched Roots back in 75 when it came on.
77.
Or 77.
77.
I feel like this is an intervention for old people now.
It's a support group.
It is.
Yeah.
My question for you is, I met Marina.
You for that.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I mentioned to her that I had just seen, just watched Insurrection in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, poor you. So my question to you is, what was your favorite Star Trek movie?
Of all of them, including the ones that I'm not in?
No, the ones the Next Generation.
Oh, Next Generation. I'm going to go with First Contact. I think First Contact's a terrific movie. It's a great Star Trek movie, but it's a great movie. Even if, you know, if you're not a Star Trek fan, First Contact, you know, is a lot of fun.
It's like the next gen's Rapcon. I mean, I think that's their...
Maybe so.
Their,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you direct first, or did Frakes direct?
Frakes was the first.
Frakes was the first.
Yeah. And then Patrick was second.
What did you learn from seeing them direct? Because I... Again, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to run people will correct me if I'm wrong. But... I think you, as Star Trek actors, do you hold the record as having directed the most episodes
of Star Trek?
Trek?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you learn from them that you were able to take in and just, man, make this thing your own?
I guess I from Jonathan, I learned to have the faith in myself and the confidence that I'd be able to do it. When went to Rick and Star Trek University was sort of officially launched with Jonathan, and then we all had to go through it. I mean, if you expressed a desire to direct, then you had to go to school, and you had to come in on your days off, and you had to spend time with every editor of the rotation, you had to go to production meetings and scoring sessions and spotting sessions. You really had to demonstrate your commitment to learning the inner workings of the process. And once you proved your commitment, then you got a slot. Whether you got a second slot really depended on how you performed the first time around.
You apparently did quite well.
I didn't suck.
Next question.
Hi, I'm Brianna. So I watched Reading Rainbow and Star Trek when I was really young. I got introduced to it by my family, my teachers. It was really inspirational, and I loved both a lot. Did you ever, I mean, how do you feel about, like, how much you've, like, influenced even just, like, some younger generations, how they've seen you through so many different things?
I try not to think about it all that often. Like rooms full of people, it's an idea that makes me nervous. Can you relate? I think you can relate. Yeah. Thank you.
many different things that it impacts so many people, and then we all come together in events like this, and then that can't be overwhelming, I would think, for an actor that
it can
has the resume that you have.
But y'all are nice.
And
old people are
nice.
Old people are getting
older. Any questions?
Hi.
Hi.
Since, you know, the new Star Trek movies and the Kelvers, if they got to the next-gen era, who would you want to see play the Horde?
Wow. Donald Glover. Man, that'd be cool. Hey.
Well, I was really glad to hear that you liked First Contact. I don't care what anyone says, it's better than Wrath of Khan.
Wow. I think you better watch your back if you're walking out of here.
I hear a lot of stories about how people were cut up on set. Is there any blooper that happened that really sticks out in your mind that's just a great moment?
Not any one particular moment. I mean, our time on Next Gen for all of us amounts to some of the happiest days of our lives. And that's simply because of the chemistry among us. And, you know, Jonathan's a really, as you all know, a really big personality. I think Brent is the funniest human being I know. I think we all have a great sense of humor. And we just make one another laugh. I don't know what it is, but we really, it's like we're children when we're in the presence of one another. And it's wonderful. So I don't remember, you know, I mean, there are stories I could tell, but mainly it's just the love. It's the love and the laughs that stand out.
You guys are kind of like a traveling blooper reel when you go. I've seen you guys perform, and I mean, I've seen Frakes go into the crowd
yes.
and ask you guys questions
yes.
on the stage. I
yes.
mean, as a fan,
yes, yes,
it's insane. Some of those are the most entertaining things I think you guys have ever produced.
I think my friends are very, very funny people.
You guys are always
hysterical.
Can you talk to working on with James Dillon?
Relics. Yeah.
I think probably that might be like top 10 episode.
It certainly is for me.
Yeah.
I mean that was a real, and that'll be there forever. You know, that'll be there forever.
Yeah.
I got to work with Jenny, and I got to meet him.
What did he say to you though? Just it's a handing off of the baton kind of moment. And it's one of those moments.
And he was very, very gracious and very, very generous. And I was absolutely thrilled.
Yeah.
Thrilled.
That's the rewatchability of that episode.
Yeah.
It's just so I can put it in and watch it.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Jenny, and I was wondering if you've seen Orville or any chance to be on that.
I haven't had a chance to check Orville out yet. But I am working with Seth's company on another project, so we'll see.
That's a great show.
Yeah, it is.
Have you guys seen The Orville?
Oh,
yeah. It is that spirit of Star Trek. And if you
I think Arena makes an appearance this coming season.
Nice.
Maybe I wasn't supposed to see that. I don't know.
Too late now.
Yeah,
nobody's listening.
Like,
Yes, sir.
My name is Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Just wanted to say, first of all, I grew up watching Reading Rainbow all the time, very inspired by it. Now I am a early childhood intermittent specialist. I work with struggling readers every single day, so I just wanted to thank you. You definitely created it. Generations of people. Now I am going to do a 180 and ask you about the episode of Family Guy. I know, random. Where Stewie basically controlled the entire, most of the original cast for a day. Just wondering what it was like to work with Seth MacFarlane and if you recorded your lines with the other actors or separately.
I love Seth. For a lot of reasons, not the least of which is when we did the Reading Rainbow Kickstarter, Seth kicked in $1 million. That's a lot of love. But no, we didn't. We all recorded separately based on everybody's schedule. So we probably wouldn't have gotten anything done. They brought us all together and put us in one room. And given us lines to say. But I love watching that episode. I did two episodes of Family Guy. That one and Pitar, I think it's called, where Peter gets a life coach, Vern. Yeah. High five!
Hi, Mr. Burton.
Hey.
My name is Sean.
Hey, Sean.
I grew up on Reading Rainbow. Public school would show us on the little TV that we were in, you know, so we got to watch.
They call that the AV card, Sean. At least they did when we went to school, but, you know.
You're old.
What do they call it now, Sean?
Oh, God.
Just the TV thing.
Yeah.
The VCR?
VCR.
Maybe, yeah, right.
I was doing some research on you before I came here because I was so excited you were coming.
Wow.
And I know that you graduated from University of South California.
Southern California.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other USC.
Yeah. In 1974.
Yeah.
And then you got the Roots deal in 1977. And I was wondering what that three-year gap was like with trying to, like, I could imagine you'd be trying to find your voice and, like, man, what am I going to say? I went to school for this long, and what am I going to do now? And then, what was that process, that three-year gap?
I got Roots as a sophomore. I started. I didn't graduate in 74. I started in 74. And I got Roots in 76. Roots was my first professional audition. I was a student at the University of Southern California studying theater. And one day they posted a notice on the call board. They had been from L.A. to Chicago to New York and then back again looking for the right actor to play Quentin Pinte and hadn't found him, so they called the drama school at UCLA, Cal Arts, and USC. And I was in the right place at the right time.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Eight episodes. TV was such a different landscape back then.
It was 12 hours aired originally in eight consecutive nights.
How does somebody that young not get overwhelmed by the magnitude of everything around?
Being the new kid on the block and working with actors that I had admired my whole life, Cicely Tyson, Dr. Maya Angelou, people I had seen on the screen and read about my whole life, that kept me really grounded. I was all ears. I just wanted to soak up every bit of wisdom and information that I possibly could. Yeah.
Hi, my name's Lorraine Miller. I'm also from Cincinnati. First of all, I've got a couple of things. Your role as a Nazi, it was great. Just have to put that out. I'm a Gargoyles fan as well. Great. We're fans here. Second, I grew up reading Rainbow as well. I was like really little when you did the show, and it inspired me to do some more reading. And the third one, which is the main part, I'm actually a writer, and I know that you're an author yourself, and I've got a co-writer over in Seattle. We just do some writing for ourselves. It's just a hobby. We like to expand our imaginations and all that, but sometimes we do hit some roadblocks. Like, we get writer's block, and we've got details that are clashing. I was wondering, do you have any tips for any authors or future writers out there?
Just keep writing. You gotta write through writer's block. You gotta write through the distractions that life can provide. You just gotta keep writing. Alcohol helps a lot. When in doubt, drink. That's my motto. I would not give those people any pages to read anymore. Note to self, when you get notes that said your writing stinks, Time to get somebody else to read.
I saw the great cartoon Sergio Argonis from Mad Magazine, and he had mentioned, because people ask me, because he does so many cartoons, like, what do you do if you get stuck? And he says, I've got so many different projects I'm working on, different things, just keep doing different things. Then when you get stuck with one thing,
just move to another.
Yeah, and then it frees up enough to go back and do the other one.
That's
so
right.
Just do, like you say, keep doing it, but keep doing different things.
Hi, I'm Lily, and I am not old.
Lily, you're absolutely right.
When I was young, my mom and I used to watch some of the old Star Treks, and I still do, and you were like one of my favorite characters, along with Data.
So we're considered the old Star Trek now?
I was hoping you didn't hear that.
I grew up on the Lester Company. And I was wondering, like, how did you get your start in that?
I'm still stuck on the old Star Trek. Really, I didn't hear anything you said after that.
What's that make, what does that make Shatner?
Ancient.
Really, you're a cruel, cruel man.
But it's a musical explanation later. And
what was your question?
How did you get your start in acting?
How did I get my start in acting? Well, I left the Catholic Seminary in 1974 and won a full scholarship to University of Southern California to study theater, and that was my start. That was my start. I discovered theater arts while at St. Pius, and when I decided not to become a priest, I sort of was trying to figure out where I was going to put my focus, and I decided that theater arts was the place for me.
Yeah, I'm a huge theater and speech and debate kid. I want to see, and so many actors have started off like that. Like, maybe I can get there some.
It's a great trajectory, Lily.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. Just a note for your future. When in the presence of people who are old, do your best to not remind them. Hi.
I'm Michaela.
Hey, Michaela. My daughter's name is Michaela. Yeah.
Yes, you had mentioned that.
Yeah.
And I wondered where you got the inspiration for her first and middle name, because it's mine too.
Your middle name is Jean?
Yes.
You're kidding. You're Michaela Jean?
Yes.
And what's your last name?
Oh.
You're not my daughter. That is a relief. We named our daughter Michaela after the feminine of Michael the Archangel. Her middle name is Jean because my mother's name was Irma Jean. My mother-in-law's name is Donna Jean. And so it was a no-brainer, Michaela Jean. She also has a second middle name, Estelle, which was my grandmother's name and my sister-in-law, Cookie's name. So Michaela Jean Estelle Bergman is her name in full.
Thank you.
Is your name Michaela, too? Good news.
My name is Dustin, and I have a question. Who
was
the most difficult person to work with on Star Trek?
Oh. Done. You don't expect me to actually answer that question. Because the next thing you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to read on the internet that Bavar said that...
There's like 5 more.
Doug, I'm just going to say that they were all wonderful.
Hi.
My name is
Claire.
Hi, Claire.
So you started this with talking about your podcast.
Mm.
I kind of
kind of discovered podcasts about a year ago, and I was wondering which ones besides yours, obviously, you recommended listening to or you enjoyed listening.
I love Aaron Mankey. I love Lore. Big Lore fan. I love The Read. What else? I love Serial. I'm a big Ira Glass fan. I listen to This American Life all the time. I mean, it was the model for storytelling and podcasts before it was really a thing. I just think that whole franchise has been so responsible for so much knowledge and learning that I've done over the last several years. I love that franchise.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Leave me out.
Oh, what's your podcast called?
Comic Book Central.
Comic Book Central.
That's, you subscribe to that one, right?
I don't now, but I will.
Yeah. Sure.
Hi.
My name's Claire Gang, and I was wondering, what was your favorite story to make your daughter?
My wife and I love to read aloud. She read Lemony Snicket with Mika, and I read Harry Potter. Until we got to the Death Eaters, and then we had to stop because, you know, she was having nightmares, which, you know, she'll get over. A little bit.
Yes.
My name is David. My question is, besides Star Trek, what was your other favorite voice?
Roots, without question. Without question. To have been a part of a shifting of the consciousness of this nation was and continues to be something of which I'm incredibly proud. There was an America before Roots, and there was an America after Roots, and they were not the same America. We had our eyes open with that miniseries, and it's a good thing.
We've got a couple more minutes here, so we'll try and get any questions.
My name is Julie.
Hey, Julie.
And I'm old.
Thank you, Julie. Hi, Julie.
I watched Roots as a kid, and I remember it just consuming me.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, what was your favorite character
and
everything and everybody?
Right.
So I was wondering if you had any stories or behind the scenes memories that we might not all be aware of and could share with us?
I do, and so many of them. One of the things that I think people forget about the original Roots was the genius that David Wolper, the executive producer, employed in the casting of Roots. All of the black roles were cast amazingly, but the villains, the white roles, were all played by very popular TV dads. Ed Asner, Chuck Connors, Lloyd Bridges, Lauren Green, Robert Reed, all of them played villains in Roots. And I thought that was just brilliant of David because there was a lower barrier to entry for white America. They were encountering beloved television icons, right? Playing these different roles. So I thought that was incredibly important and really brilliant producing on David Wolper's part.
Did you have any off-camera experiences that stick out in your head?
So many. My very first day as an actor, Cicely Tyson played my mother. That was kind of cool. when we left Savannah and got home to Los Angeles to film Hour 4, Lou Gossett, I did a sleepover at Lou Gossett's Malibu Beach House. That was pretty cool. I got to travel all around the country with Alex Haley and watch him tell that story at the screenings of the first 2 hours. Getting to really know that man and have him be a part of my life, that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Burke.
Hey.
Sean.
Hey, Sean.
In your
journey through your acting career and having worn so many different hats in front of the camera, behind the camera, actor, director, in the change that's come from the 1970s to the types of media that people consume now, what advice would you give to young people who want to pursue a life in front of or behind the camera?
That's a very good question, by the way. I believe that we live in a remarkable era right now, in that the creation of content has been democratized by the advanced nature of technology. What that means is that, and with all the distribution outlets, right, from IG to YouTube, no one can stop you from telling a story, or even your story, if you have the gumption and access to very inexpensive technology. And if you have the imagination, you can create a story and you can find an audience for your story. So my advice would be, if you are a storyteller at heart, and you know if you are, then start telling stories. Practice. Get as good as you can. Keep going.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes! LeVarMurphyPodcast.com. We are going to be announcing later on in the week. We have already announced Austin as one of the stops on the LeVar Burton Reads Live tour coming this fall. There will be cities that I visit that I won't announce today in the Northeast and in the Southwest. So stay tuned.
Check them out online. Give it up for LeVar Burton.
Great questions, folks. In fact, fantastic questions for all three of my Q&As this year at the Cincinnati Comic Expo. Man, you guys and gals were on point this year. Can't wait to do it again next year at the Cincinnati Comic Expo. And how cool was it to hear LeVar state that he'd be up for a return to the Star Trek universe? I was hoping he'd say that. We're all hoping he'd say that. Man, we need some resolution for the Next Gen crew. Look, All Good Things was one of the greatest series finales of all time. There's no doubt about that. But we needed some more closure with this cast and crew. Will we get it with Patrick Stewart's return to the role of Jean-Luc Picard? Will LeVar Burton be a part of it? Will Brent Spiner do a 180 of what he talked about to me on episode 116 of this very show? Will he return as Data? Stay tuned, Trekkers and Trekkies. I am sure we're going to be talking about it right here on Comic Book Central. Look, we're always up for some Trek talk right here in the lair. My thanks to LeVar Burton for, man, just being LeVar Burton and all the awesomeness that comes along with that. He is truly a legend, that is for sure. If you want to know more about what he's up to, I will put links to his social media page and LeVar Burton Kids in the show notes for this episode at my website, comicbookcentral.net, and also the show notes at blogtalkradio.com/comicbookcentral. So check them out there. You get all the links. By the way, if you're new to the show, if you are a Star Trek fan, if you're tuning in because you heard about Star Trek, don't forget to check out past episodes of Comic Book Central, where I talk to LeVar's next-gen castmates, Jonathan Frakes, Marina Sirtis, Brent Spiner, Gates McFadden, Michael Dorn. Also, original Trekkers, not old, not classic, they're original Trekkers. William Shatner, Nichelle Nichols, Walter Koenig, they've all beamed into the lair for in-depth conversations as well. You can check them out in the archives at the website or the Blog Talk Radio page, Blueberry, Stitcher, Google Play. It's all out there as well. Or your best bet, subscribe to the show on iTunes. Man, you get each and every episode that way. And if you haven't already, please be so kind as to leave a review in iTunes. Always appreciate that. And folks, don't forget about the Comic Book Central 5th Anniversary Special. It airs November 10th. And I need to hear about your favorite moment from this past year by November 5th. That's the deadline. Maybe episode 201 right off the bat, my chat with Star Trek's Walter Koenig. Maybe that was your favorite moment. Maybe you have a favorite moment from that interview. I know I do, and I know which one I'm picking. Don't wait. Send me your favorite Year 5 moment now, joe@comicbookcentral.net, or record a voicemail at the website. That incredible, exclusive, one-of-one Superman artwork by John Pinto, that could be yours. All right, kids, that is it for today. I got to go outside and yell at some kids to get off my lawn. But I will be back here in the lair very soon, because next week on Comic Book Central, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Planet of the Apes, what do they all have in common? Well, my guest right here in the lair next week, he is the award-winning author who has given us exhaustive and immensely entertaining making of books for all three of those epic franchises. Next week, we'll head to that galaxy far, far away. We will take an archaeological adventure, and we will go ape with author J.W. Rinzler. J.W. is going to be here. I'll be here. We're both hoping you're going to be here as well. Until then, keep reading those books. Keep reading those comics. Just keep reading in general. Keep reading everything. And thanks for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central. All of the content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective holders. Take a look. It's in a book.
Welcome to the Starship Enterprise, from the television show Star Trek The Next Generation. Now, you might have seen me here before, on the bridge, as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, the ship's navigator. But now, let me show you something I'll bet you haven't seen before. None of this ever appears in an episode of the show, but without it, there just wouldn't be a Star Trek The Next Generation. Same is true of everything on TV. What you see on the screen just isn't the whole story. Now, here's a book about all the people, equipment, time, and energy it takes to make a TV show about an ordinary rabbit who becomes a superhero in The Bionic Bunny Show.